Hello, welcome back to the Chelsea Echo podcast here for your game preview against Luton Town. We're recording this on the Thursday night. We're cutting it a bit fine. Tom's going to a Thursday dating event, so any of you single ladies out there that listen to the podcast, you know, just let us know and then we can, you know, you can go chat with Tom. He's going to be the really tall one, which is just in the corner, bobbing his head. Tobes is currently not in the best shapes. Don't follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm with Reese and Fofana in the medical room.
I can't believe that. You're joining the casualty team. It's going
to
be great.
Mate, the boots need to get hung up. You know, you can't be knocking around having knees sliding all over the place. Can't walk.
Do you 26. Want to be my assistant manager?
I want to be the manager. I'm taking your job.
I'm coming for your job. I beg your pardon. Listen, just because my instinct was crap the other day, don't think you can fucking talk to me like that, mate. All right, I'm not having that.
Yeah and your tactics are outdated like your Wi-Fi. You need moving on. The game needs to evolve. It needs young. Mate, it needs a fresh pair of eyes on it.
I also think you need a younger pair of eyes, and you're older than me. So that's
yeah. Well, I was about to say it, and then I realised I was like, "Hang on, I'm 26."
Yeah, is what it is, mate. This is football heritage, and I've not been very well today either. You know, just been in bed chilling out. However, with that, I have discovered something. I've started watching Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares for the first time.
You've never watched it?
I've never watched
Have you watched Hell's Kitchen before?
No, I've never watched Hell's Kitchen. I watched it, obviously. Okay,
Hell's Kitchen's better than Kitchen Nightmares. Hell's Kitchen is just elite.
Louis, you gave me shit for drinking sparkling water. And then you've never watched Gordon Ramsay. That is no.
After, it's just, how it's, you can... It's never interested me. Like, reality TV's never really been my thing. So I've always been a bit like...
Yeah, but Ramsay screaming at Americans who just take so much shit from him. It is just, like, the perfect recipe for a perfect show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have been really enjoying it. Like, basically, so my friend who's been staying over, he's like, you've not seen it, right? We're going to watch it. He showed me the, I think, Abigail's Baking Company? That one he had to walk away from? The one that had all the memes. I saw that, and that was the first one I watched. And then I've just watched from series one. I've done the whole of the first season in the space of three days.
Gordon's not paying us anything, and he should be. But on Prime, they have Hell's Kitchen, and get on that, because that's great entertainment.
I absolutely will be doing that. But it's still not as me.
Or Prime. If Prime want to sponsor us as well, you're...
I mean, you know, we can have a chat. Amazon Prime, you know. Yeah. Sponsor a small podcast with three guys... You talk about the football, and then Tom drinks sparkling water and burps. It's great. I stand by that, by the way. That is...
I'm drinking still right now, by the way.
No, I think you've outdone him. If we were playing... I agree. Like, if we were playing, like, strange things to not do or do, top trumps. I think you've top trumped him.
Well, me not watching Hell's Kitchen. Like, I refuse to watch Love Island.
Hell's Kitchen. Any Ramsay programs? Like that's like that's heritage. Well,
I watched the thing with Fred the French bloke. Yeah, and the bloke from Hertfordshire. Yeah. Watch that.
Yeah, but he's less of a like. You want him screaming at people.
Yeah. He's gone soft with since he's had 17 children.
Get on to Luton again.
Sorry. I like our tangents.
I like a tangent, but I also like Luton.
They call me Quentin Tangentino. With all of that, we'll go straight into it. Obviously, we're talking about Luton. So we're going to go through what do we want to see? Who do we want to see? We'll talk about the performances, players who have played both games and seeing what's going on in terms of the old... Premier League predictor, and what's going on in terms of the fact there's an injury room, and there's something which I've noticed you haven't put in, Tom, which I do want to talk about a certain Romelu Lukaku. But anyway, we'll get straight into it. Let's talk about the game. Straight off the bat, how are we feeling? Realistically, how confident do you feel?
Very. Very. If I'm honest, I know there'd be reason to be doubtful with injuries, with whatever. I'm going into this with no excuses. I don't care. I think Potts will have them motivated. I'm not going to forget that they've impressed me for a lot of the actual football that they've played throughout the season. That second half against West Ham was not one of those, but the rest of it I have been happy with. I think they are going to go there. These aren't the same players as everything we've been looking at in the past couple of years, and they know they have to deliver. They will go into that game knowing it's Luton at home. We have to be winning these games. We let them down. We let these fans down on Sunday. We could have won that Liverpool game. We should have got more points out of these two games than we did get, and we're going to get 3 points here on out. I think Poch will have them fired up all week the second they came out of that West Ham game, if I'm honest. So I do actually feel confident, regardless of fresh injury news that's added on top of an already big list.
Yeah, I wrote the opposition preview for old Oak Road Hatter. I hope that's the right name. I think that's the right name. Anyway, I wrote one for them. And in that, you know, as I was writing for Luton, I was perhaps a little bit less confident, shall we say, in what I said. I think I said at some point in there that if they get a few wins around the likes of Everton, Fulham, Bournemouth, Burnley, Sheffield, all the teams around them who are, let's say, struggling, to be political, I don't think they can even do that. I really don't think they're very good, to be completely honest. Sorry, Luton fans, if you're listening for some reason. I think they are just destined to go down, and therefore we just have to not only go out, I said this last week as well, we can't just go out and beat them. I don't want a 1-0 here.
Mm.
I want a proper, and I'm not expecting it to click because it is only our third competitive game, but I want to go out and beat them comfortably. And people be like, oh yeah, like Chelsea battered them. Like, you know, City battered teams. Arsenal battered a few teams last year. Liverpool have done it over the years. Even United have done it a bit last season and the year before. Like, they've gone out and been clearly the better team. Newcastle now do it. And we just sort of, when we win a game, like, last year's a bit of an anomaly, I guess, but even the year before, like under Tuchel, we'd win games. We'd dominate possession, we'd dominate chances, and yet we'd still win 1-0 with like a Reece James goal, with obviously like the Juventus game being a bit of an exception there. Again,
all that Norwich game as well.
Yeah, every game's a struggle. In the last like 2 years, other than that Southampton 6-0, I feel like every game has been a struggle, regardless of how it's gone.
And it's frustrating. I'm fed up with it. I want to go out and be able to fully relax at half-time, basically, like we should have been, really, against West Ham.
Mm.
And go out and do what we can do. We're a lot better than them. We've got the players to do it. You know, we've got a good manager. It's at the Bridge on a Friday night. Very rare game to have at Stamford Bridge. Against inferior opposition, let's go out and have fun. But please, please win this game.
No, absolutely. And yeah, I do want to touch on that with what you were saying about the terms of how a game's been a struggle. Because it's been like that since Sarri. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say I enjoyed what Sarri was bringing to Chelsea, but I appreciate that it was going to take time to adapt and change. He didn't take that full extended period because he wanted to go back to Italy. But you did kind of see the beginnings of what we wanted in that Europa League final against Arsenal. However, the issue we had with that whole season was it was just stemming from a complete lack of being able to bang the door down. And, you know, I remember being about outside the Arsenal game, we lost at the Emirates, and calling it parsi parsi bang bang and painting, you know, Mona Lisa's smile. And I think the best example I think I saw of it was actually you shared a compilation of Pedro Tobes earlier today.
Yeah.
And I was watching that, and it was a case of you saw when he first arrived with the foot we were playing under Mourinho and Conte versus afterwards. No, obviously a lot of the goals he scored afterwards were beautiful goals, but they're all inside the 6-yard box because we were trying to score the perfect goal. Whereas before, it would be a case of there'd be a long ball or there'd be an opportunity to be much more direct. And I think we're actually starting to see, I think over the past couple of games especially, there is a want for us to be more direct. That's those players want to run at people a bit more. And, you know, I've been very harsh over the past couple of games at Raheem Sterling, but, you know, in the West Ham game, he did show, for me, sort of, That fire again, you know, when people look at him as a player, what he started out as and that ability just to run at people. I always think of that that game in the World Cup, you know, it was, I think, who were we playing? We were playing Italy, I think, in Brazil. And
when he scored but didn't score?
Yeah. And but it was the way he just took people on. He picked up the ball and ran at people. And just having that's what we need, especially tomorrow. The opposition preview, so we'll chuck in here later. You're going to hear that, obviously, Stephen Day from the Oak Road Hatter pod. You know, they're talking about how this can be very defensively resilient, very sturdy, and they are going to be looking to hit on the counter. So, you know, now we've got to see Chelsea.
And that, yeah.
Exactly. Chelsea have now got to break down a low block. So we're going to have to see how that goes. But yeah, realistically, let's be honest, right? With the squad that we have, we should be around top four, top six. Okay, so realistically, you're looking at the West Hams, you're looking at the Lutons, you're looking, and all due respect to West Ham, you know, that's how they play on the counter. They've still, despite being Europa League and you know, European football consistently over the past few years, they do play like a small team still sometimes.
Yeah, it's David Moyes.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, they're going to sit back and hold their shape. So we need to learn how to do that, especially considering we're going to be a team that's going to have most of the ball. So this is a perfect opportunity. Let's bang four or five goals in and really leave our mark, because I'm sick already of people saying, look at all the money Chelsea spent this summer. Look at all of this. They're going to be shit again this year. And it's really starting to get to me, because it's kind of like, it's been two games, and obviously I know it's football Twitter, but it's the case of like media outlets getting on top of it as well, because they know I'll get them clicks. And I just want us to really shut people up this year. I've had enough already. I want a bit of fire. So let's have a little look at what happens with that. But who do we want to see? Should we do our 11 now, or do you want to save it until afterwards when we've gone through it?
Do it now.
Okay, yeah, sure. Right.
I think we're a bit limited as well.
We absolutely are. But that, to be fair, let's talk about that even before we go into the 11. Okay, 9 injuries, 7 of which could be first team players already before even at the first international break. We haven't even hit September. We've played 2 Premier League games. We have 9 injuries. Can we? What is going on with that medical
department? I put in the script. A bit further down, but where did I even 57 injuries, that is, since the start of last season, which that's become a bit
and we had a lot in the one Twitter. Prior as well.
I just don't like, you know, I feel like Arsenal always used to get injuries and I would always be like, ha, your medical team's shit, and now we always get injuries and I'm like, what is it, like, as you know, is there something in the water, like what is going on, is Cobham is it the pitch there that wears down? I don't know, like, a lot of these injuries are... There's a
They're
mixture
drinking
as well.
Your sparkling water.
Well, don't drink sparkling water. It's a toxic mix, clearly. But like, I don't know, because it's a mix of injuries. You've got muscular injuries, you've got ligament injuries, you've got whatever Reece James wakes up with one morning. Like, it's just... I don't understand it. And obviously, luckily, Trip Romeka's only out for 6 weeks, because that looked like it was going to be another season ender. We've now got Mudryk out for... It's only a little injury, I think. So I think he's missing Luton. He might be back for Forest. It's just like every week.
It's relentless, isn't it? Yeah.
Just make signings and get players injured. And I just love a week where we're like not linked with anyone. We're not selling anyone. We've got a settled team. Everyone's managed to get through the week without an injury. And we go beat a team 3-0. That's all I'm asking for. It's not that much.
No.
Is it? Is it?
No, it absolutely isn't that much. I just want to... Well, we need to address the issue, because obviously there was the whole thing. Wasn't there the whole thing last year where we brought in some like celebrity fitness coach from Hollywood to be our new head of medical or something like that?
We brought in that New Zealand no dickhead policy guy.
Yeah, that's
and then he's already gone.
Yeah, well, not shock. Yeah. He got rid of all of them. These are all the ones that class as dickheads. That's the entire squad. Yes, correct.
You've got to get rid of all those, we'll be all right. Oh, dear. No, look, I think we do need to look at this, because, I mean...
Yeah, is it bad luck? Is there a correlation there?
Well, it can't be.
It can't be bad luck at 57.
No, that's what I mean. It's too relentless. But I think
even
a lot
if it
was
just
fitness.
This season... Sorry, even if it was just this season with the 9, you could say, oh, we just had a unlucky start to the season, you've got a few injuries. But it's been going on for, as you say, like 3 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just got to the point where... I mean, if it hadn't already got to this point, but someone has got to be looking at this and going like a proper, what is going on? Is it the training, right? Is it the training we're doing? Is it, you know, are the medical staff terrible? Are they not spotting like little injuries when they should?
Apparently a lot of it would have been to do with fitness as well. And in, like the prior year, there was a lot of complaints. Like Frank, when he came in, the first thing he said was like, these players aren't fit enough. And so maybe there was a factor there. They're always in the gym, these lot, this gen. I don't know. I always see them taking pictures in the gym. We just saw Mount got another injury with United, and I always think since he bulked up a bit, he never had injuries in his first couple of years with us when he was a bit more skinny, but put on a bit of muscle, maybe pick up injuries from that. I don't really know.
Listen, lads, we don't all need gain season. You know, I think it's kind of a case of, you know, I mean, I'm personally, I'm going to go on a cut. You know, my body's a temple. So I've got to go through all of that. And I really think the Chelsea squad should look at the same thing.
Should we send them an email?
On the same page.
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll write them a fitness regimen. Do you reckon they'd like that?
I would love to see it.
Do you know, I personally think we should. I've got another forfeit already planned. I was thinking about it. I personally think we should. One of us has to lead an aerobic class in leg warmers.
I could back that. Well, once I can walk, I don't mind that. That doesn't sound bad.
And we may have imagined toes with his ACL. Yeah, so you've got to go that one round with a boxer, just this man on crutches trying to jump away from a...
Yeah.
Bashing around the head with his crutch.
It's an interesting one. But look, let's get into this 11 now then. Let's go straight into
it. In goal. Is it the new guy or is it the other new guy?
Oh, God.
I'm going for Bettinelli.
He's not even fit. He's injured.
How's he injured? What's he been doing to get injured?
They did the images of all the players, the injuries. Took a picture of Marcus Bettinelli, put unknown injury, unknown return time. I just started laughing. I'm just like, it's like no one cares. It's like, he's a third choice keeper. It's fine. But can I just say, right, we've signed another goalkeeper. I saw when it was like Chelsea.
Because we lost Kepa.
No, that's fine. My issue is, great, this is an opportunity to sign a player in a position where you can actually have that older head. You know, when I was seeing Kasper Schmeichel linked, not an ideal long-term choice, not a great choice sort of just as a top keeper, but he's someone where it's a really good stopgap. I was like, great, we'll bring a decent keeper, we'll go from there. And then we brought in another fucking toddler. He's 23, this Petrovic. I don't get
Brad Friedel was singing his praises, and I saw a little triple save he did, but I'm not really fooled by that because Kepa made one of those against Villa. We'll see. I look at keeper as one of those ones where they're going to need to invest for a long term big one, unless they really have a lot of stocks in this Slonina guy who's obviously gone on loan. But that's a next summer job. They're spending enough. I don't disagree with you, but they needed someone in because I think we've watched Bettinelli in like one game, and that was enough for me to know I don't want him coming in anytime soon.
Oh mate, he's not the best. But I mean, look, with that, I think that kind of answers our question for our keeper and goal. We're going to go Sanchez, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool, Sanchez, left back. Right, actually, before we carry on, big question: 3 or 4?
We're playing Luna home. I don't need a 5. Let's just dominate them and score some goals.
Cool. Let's crush if Potch,
the Chelsea. I swear to God, Potch, if you deploy a 5, I actually will be a bit like, okay, mate, come on, what are we doing here?
It's I can see it happening as well. Okay, right. So we want a 4. Left back's Chile. Yes. That's guaranteed. Right back's Mano Gusto,
yep.
That's sorted.
Yep.
Our centre backs are fit, right?
apparently Badia Ashil might be back.
Really?
He has been training. Yeah, he's been training.
Yeah, so they might look to bring him in against Luton, but I assume that'll be off the bench, right? They'd start him. I would imagine that our centre backs will be Colwell and Silva.
Okay, that's
fine. De Sassi needs a bit more time to acclimatise to.
Yeah, I think it'll be that. When Badia Ashil's fit, who would your starting two be, though, guys?
Very difficult to say. It might be them. It might be those two left footers.
I'm going to be honest. I think so. I think it's time
Badia Ashil and Colwell.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. I can't remember a double left.
But then there is obviously the problem there of a significant lack of experience. So we need to do it. It depends on the game, I guess.
I love Thiago. I just think we're starting to see the start of the phasing out.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's 39.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but he's still comfortably our best centre back. That is the amazing thing. Trev's. I think that's something else we can talk about later.
Another injury.
That was a joke, by the way. I don't really rate him.
No. You don't rate Trev?
Not particularly.
He's okay. Really? He's okay, but no, I'm the same. Like Trev, I like that he's academy, player. But
I feel like Trev's just—he's a good squad player.
Trev, when we were playing a 3, it makes sense. In a 4, it doesn't for me.
Yeah, and we also
unless you stick him at right back, but you got Gusto now, haven't you?
Yeah,
Gusto.
Okay. But anyway, so that,
back to
okay.
11, sorry.
That's that. So our two, our double pivot, Enzo Caicedo.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Cool. Right wing, Sterling.
No.
No, it would be Madueke, I hope. With Mudrick's injury, yeah. I'm hoping it would be
yeah, exactly.
Nonny. So you got Nonny on
Nonny
the
and
right.
Sterling on the left.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm happy yeah. with yeah. that. Who's your number 10?
Yeah.
It's Connor just
Gallagher.
Shoot.
There's literally yeah. no one else. Unless Ian Matson got a rogue game there. I know he did play there a bit pre-season, but...
Oh, maybe that. I'm kind of... Yeah, just shoot Connor, please.
Put Connor in, okay. And then centre forward Nico Jackson, right? Because there's no other choice.
Yeah.
Bro's back.
Okay. Well, or is there?
No. Jackson, obviously. But apparently Breyer is also nearly fit, but I'm not sure whether
well,
that is this
he's,
week.
He's
going to
be going
maybe,
into the 21s. That's what, really,
little,
that's what I was reading.
Little cameo against Wimbledon.
Wimbledon. Yes, I'll be. I think that'd be good. That may.
And we've got another nice. Striker, guys.
Right. Anyway, if we move on quickly, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. I mean, look, it's pretty self-explanatory that 11.
Yeah.
You know, everything
it picks
got
itself.
There, I think. Look, I mean, with Luton, it's
actually.
It's
do you know what? It wouldn't surprise you because where he's played Chile, if he were to play a four, he might just play Chile left wing and keep Sterling on the right and play like Matson at left back.
I would be surprised if he did that.
I don't know if I would just because of the five thing he's been doing with Chile, but yeah,
it's great for fantasy that though, isn't it? Because if he's playing left wing, you know, you've got him as a defender in the team in fantasy, which.
But I'd say he's played at left wing, hasn't he? Really.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have even called him a wing back these first two games.
Yeah, but I mean, no. It depends what he's going to do. If he's going to have Caicedo sitting, which I imagine he probably yeah. would, then maybe Chilwell can just bomb forward as the left back with the ball. I don't know. We'll see what.
Yeah, true.
I don't really know because with three, it's difficult to kind of know what our shape would be as a four. Like whether we're going to be like City and Arsenal and Liverpool and try and play like inverted, or whether we're going to play a more traditional back four, shall we say?
I think yeah, Trev would be good for the inversion. Just saying.
You think what?
I think Trev would be a good option. Like for that, if we were ever to play inverted, Trev can do that. You know, I stand by.
What,
that.
Over Reece and Gusto?
Well, obviously, well, Reece has got one leg and isn't going to be playing for ages. Gusto.
Okay,
like,
Gusto then.
I mean, Gusto's what going to be playing. He seems to be the one that wants to bomb on. So, you know, we'll have to see.
No, but anyway. I don't mind Trev, but I don't feel comfortable with him on the ball.
I agree.
I think we're massively underrated.
He doesn't give me...
And I have elite ball knowledge, okay? You know, my James Ward-Prowse prediction came true. I felt like fucking Yoda last week. So let me just ride on my cloud, okay? And Tom, you drink sparkling water, so your opinion doesn't matter. Anyway...
Well, Ramsey exists, mate.
but yeah, look, it is Luton. It's the fact that I'm still worried. It is Luton, but realistically, they've been battered by Brighton. They couldn't even play their game against Burnley. You know, it's we've just got to get the job done now.
There's just no excuse. There's no excuse, and I don't want to consider any excuses either.
Exactly. So we got to get 3 points, and let's get it all sorted. But
goal difference positive.
Yeah, that'd be quite nice. But anyway, before we crack on, let's head across to the Oak Road Hatter Boys and have a little chat in an opposition preview. We'll see you guys after that. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Chelsea Echo. Welcome to your opposition preview of Chelsea versus Luton. Chelsea looking for their first win of the season and under Mauricio Pochettino. Luton looking for their first ever win in the Premier League. I'm joined by Stephen Day from the Oak Road Hatter Pod. Mate, how you doing? You all right?
Pretty good. You?
Yeah, I'm all right. I had a pretty decent week. Doing some work, cracking on, doing what I need to do. Just looking forward to Friday and looking forward to the footy. You going to be there?
Yes, yeah, 100%. Wasn't ever going to miss it.
Oh, mate, it's what's it like being back in the Premier League, like as a Luton fan, or being back in the top flight? You've never been in the Premier League, so like, what's this journey been like for you over the past got 10 years when you've gone from non-league all the way up to the top flight?
Yeah, I mean, I've only been alive 24 years, so I have no recollection of us being. I think like when I started going to Luton, we were League One Championship. Back in 2003, 2004, and it's everyone says it's been a roller coaster. It's been mental. Like, been to Hyde away. I've been to, I mean, at the time Oxford and Cambridge were in the conference as well. But you know, I've been there away. I've been to Who else? Like loads of. I didn't go to many away games in the conference because of just logistic reasons. But like, you think about where the club has actually been to, and it's just mental that we're going to be at Chelsea away in the Premier League on Friday night. Obviously, we had that those games during COVID. Well, that away game in COVID and the home game in the FA Cup last season, or yeah, I think it was last season. And yeah, it's just to call it a league fixture now. Crazy.
The club itself has been through such a massive journey. Obviously, Kenilworth Road sort of on its way to being finally put in place as a Premier League stadium. What's it like at the moment, sort of being around Luton, just as an area? Like, as obviously, people always talk about it being dreary and all that sort of stuff, being one of the worst. It was said to be one of the worst places to live in the UK. Is there like a sense of life around Luton now, or more life? Sorry. In comparison to before, so just being in the Premier League, has it ignited something around the place?
Yeah, I think the town has got a lot more up for football, even. And since we got promoted, there was a lot of people that were watching the game in parks in Luton, like the council had put on screens and in some parks for people to watch. And a lot of people have been interviewed to say that they wouldn't have normally even considered there being a football team in Luton, and they were watching it, and they're all, you know, celebrating us getting to the Premier League. And I think after the playoff semi-final home leg against Sunderland, there was almost like a carnival atmosphere after the game. And when I think about when we won the conference, there was nothing like that. It was sort of like after the game, we sort of left, and it was like no one really noticed that there was a football game on. Whereas now, the town seems to be a lot more, you know, to be buzzing for it, and to be, everyone's excited for the club to have a Premier League team, and it's sort of helping with the regeneration project that's going on at the moment, because Luton's new stadium, Power Core, which hopefully going to be built in the next few years, that's part of a huge regeneration project, and a lot of people are saying as well, like, hopefully the train station will get rebuilt as part of this, because I don't know, there'll be a people that go to Luton away, for, you know, Chelsea fans go to Luton away and see the station and think, how is this a station for a town this big? It's, you know, facilities are horrendous, but hopefully it'll push on the regeneration that's going on around the town.
That'd be really good. I think the fact that you touched on there, sort of, because for me, a big thing is obviously when you think of football, I do like to think about cultural impact of certain things. And obviously, everyone was taking the mickey out of the memes last year, you know, to steal a quote from Tobes, which we've got in our group chat, you know, Kenilworth Road was Will Stilled. You know, everyone was talking about it, much like the bloke as a slow motion football celebration at the moment. That's doing the rounds. But, you know, the fact you've touched on how important it is that the town sort of just redeveloping, the new stadium can be such a key factor in that. And there's going to be so many things happening, and this could potentially stem from Luton Town getting into the Premier League. I mean, for you, I think if you're being realistic, do you feel like it's come too early for Luton Town, almost this trip to the top flight, or do you think that you guys have what it takes to really, you know, battle with teams and stay up, basically?
I don't think it's come too early, because the way I see it is, until we were in Power Core, there wasn't going to be a lot of money coming into the club from external sources, that we weren't going to be getting huge. Well, I mean, sort of speculate, but we wouldn't have got big investors. We wouldn't have had people coming into the club and giving the club a load of money to spend £10 million, £20 million on players in the Championship. We couldn't compete with those sorts of numbers with other teams like West Brom, with Middlesbrough, with, you know, Norwich, Fulham, and when they're down in the Championship, we couldn't compete. And you could argue and say the squad isn't ready, and because of how early it's come since us being in non-league, even, it has come a bit too early. But at the same time, it's going to help grow the club to levels that we've only dreamt of. And it's just crazy to think that I think our biggest signing, like, throughout the league was probably, well, never, we never disclose fees anyway, but you know, we never had a marquee signing. We never had a oh, we've spent 1 mil, 2 mil on a player. We've never, and even like up until we got into the Championship, we didn't sell any players for huge amounts of money like Brentford do, or like other teams do. Like we had James Justin and Jack Stacey. That was the most amount of money we've come into the club in years. And now, just by participating in the Premier League, we're going to get 100-something odd million. It's just levels that we couldn't have dreamt of, really.
And well, speaking of marquee signings, or no, you said lack thereof, former Chelsea player Ross Barkley is among those players that are coming to the Premier League. I don't think anybody would have expected Ross Barkley and Luton Town to be put in the same sentence ever. I mean, it's the, like you're saying, everything about how the money coming to the Premier League, how the club's developing, it's I mean, I love this sort of stuff, like football finance and the football culture and everything just coming together. Now you are in the Premier League. Now you've got a player like Ross Barkley. Let's delve straight into the football. You know, we've done, you know, the lovey-dovey stuff. We've spoken about the romance of Luton making their way to the Premier League, but now it's time for a bit of business, mate. All right, let's talk about it. What should I expect from Luton Town on Friday night?
Hard-working team. That's one of the main things that people say about us, and what we will say as well, is that the team works hard. Even when we've got to 3-1 down against Brighton with 2 minutes to go in added on time, the team was still working. We were still trying to get a goal back. No, we knew it was over, but the players were still working hard to get anything they could from the game. And we make it hard for everyone that plays us, whether it's home or away. We don't shy away from, we don't go to big stadiums with a lack of confidence. We don't go to go into games thinking, oh, we've lost this because of our stature or because of our quality. We work hard and we make it almost impossible for teams to score against us. Obviously, it's not going to be the same as what it was in the Championship this season, and we're going to concede a lot of goals, but that's down to the quality of the opposition rather than our quality, our playing style, really. It's just we can't get in the players that will be able to you know, have us have a really strong defence. And I think it will be exciting as well. I think even though we do play defensive football and we do play, a lot of people have described it as anti-football, but in reality, it's, we just make it hard for teams to go through us. They can't go through us. They can't go over us. We've got tall players. We've got strong players. We've got people that, you know, are able to recycle the ball as well at the back. And it's not going to be boring. It's not going to be, you know, oh, we're just going to be fighting for survival with boring football, trying to concede as little goals as possible. It's going to be exciting because we play on the break. So I think Friday night and the rest of the season is going to be exciting for neutrals, for everyone watching, like, you know, for us, for the teams that we come up against. It's always going to be exciting because we don't shy away from opposition.
Mm. That's very interesting. And it's not great to hear that you guys play low blocks. That scares me, considering we can't seem to break them for love nor money and haven't been able to do it for the past 5 years. So we'll have to see how that goes. But in terms of players you mentioned your physical players, you play on the break. Who are the key players that we should be worried about and looking out for in this fixture?
It's hard because obviously we've only had one game played, and we've had a few injuries. Some people are returning from injury, but there's the obvious ones like Carlton Morris and Taheath Chong that we just signed from Birmingham. And those are, you know, Carlton Morris, top scorer last season for us. And Taheath Chong is a creative player. He's sort of, you know, he's, I don't know if you've seen much about him.
He was one of Manchester United's next big thing, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That was a big thing.
And he's very technical, very quick, very, you know, low centre of gravity and all that. And so I think he's going to be a standout player for us this season. I think he will be important to us on the break as well. And so I think he's one to look out for on Friday. And in defence, Tom Lockyer, he's brilliant. And it's so unfortunate that he had to go off and with a heart problem, I think it was, on in the playoff final, because he deserved that sort of that day, and he's one to look out for as well, because he's, when I talk about recycling the ball, he's good at winning the ball back, and he's good at passing the ball off. And sounds, you know, very quite simple for a defender, but it's those little things you need to survive, and those things you need in your defence, because he's the captain now. And if we didn't have someone like that, you know, it could easily say like, oh, we're definitely down because we haven't got that sort of central defender that's got a real football head on him. So yeah, I think those three for me are ones to look out for us. And then against Brighton, our new signings, Jacob Brown from Stoke and Ogbene from Rotherham. Ogbene went around three players in our own box and broke down the wing against Brighton when we were like 2-1 down. And I think the ball's on him to do that in that sort of, you know, in our first Premier League game. He's just come on as a sub and we're 3-1 down or 2-1 down, and do that and, you know, possibly gift them another goal. The ball's on him to do that. It's mental. So I think if he comes on, he's going to be creative, and he's going to be something that I don't think teams expect this season. And then Jacob Brown as well. He's a striker and he's quick. He seems quick. He looks really quick, and he's got, I think he's going to score quite a few for us this season. And I think if those two players come on, or if they start even, they're going to be ones to look out for as well.
Now Ross Barkley? Has he played yet?
No, he didn't play again. It wasn't in the squad for Brighton, so I don't know if he's ready yet. But I have been saying to people at my workplace, and sorry if you've got a score prediction coming up at the end, but I've been saying it's going to be 1-0, Ross Barkley in like the last 10 minutes. It's just written in the stars.
we've been sat there all week doing our predictions, sitting there going, do you think this can be easy? Do we think we're going to roll them over? Do we think we're going to really do a job? And all of us are sat there going, if Ross Barkley plays it, you're absolutely right. It does just scream Ross Barkley to score. It really does. I'm an actual pessimist as well. So, you know, hearing low blocks, Ross Barkley coming back to Stamford Bridge, picking and choosing his moments as he often did for us and for Everton, you know, it doesn't look pretty. But, you know, I'm hoping the quality that we have in this team, and especially after last week, you know, it's a must-win game for us. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens. But, mate, thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate your time. Look forward to it. And look forward to hearing more of your stuff during the Premier League season. Because you and the boys, I've just spoke to you a few times, a couple of times when we've done Chelsea FA Cup games. And you guys are fantastic. You're doing a great job. So keep doing what you're doing. And, guys, if you haven't already, please do make sure you head across and check them out. So, yeah, let's get back to the pod. See you later.
Welcome back to the Echo. In the break, we're having a little chat, and we've discovered a couple of things about each other. We're talking about what we've been compared to and what we look like, and I can genuinely never unsee Tom's ones ever again. Sorry. I thought I'd composed myself, but I can't.
Toby, I'm not saying them myself.
It's fine. I don't mind, because I will say them, because it's so worth it.
Yeah, fine. See if you can get through it.
Tobes, you got what? Ben Chilwell at a game?
Yeah, in a pub. And I was just very... I took that as a nice thing. I was like, Chilly's a good-looking bloke. You know,
were they hitting on you?
I'll take that. I hope not. It's some old geezer.
I mean, you know, whatever floats his boat. And you got that. And what was another one you've had?
I don't know if I have had...
I gave him Mudrick and Gallagher just because he's blonde.
Yeah, Mudrick and Gallagher's blonde. And I've had what I was saying, I've had shit Robert De Niro, fat Miles Teller, which I just don't get. Shit Robert De Niro, I do get, because I do pull the face. You know, I can sit there and go, you're talking to me, but obviously I don't sound anything like him. So he's my granddad. So yeah. And then. So Tom's had Leonardo DiCaprio when he was 14.
That was a good one.
Adam Sandler. But the one that's got me the most is he looks like the fat rat.
They're all very Hollywood, to be fair.
The
that rat from Flushed Away.
Just going to let you stew over that one for a sec. Thank you very much to my good friend Ali from uni. He's a Watford fan, so I'm enjoying stewing in the championship.
They've been flushed away, to be fair.
Whee!
Yeah, they're down in the dumps, these lot.
For those of you that are that are wanting to play the game with us with that, please do leave your lookalikes in the comments on Twitter when we put it out. Just so you know, though, if you say I look like this person, you just put a picture of them and not a picture of you, so we can compare. You're a liar. That's all we'll establish.
Also, speaking of lookalike, did you see that? I don't know. It wasn't really. You might not have seen it, actually. There was a celebration this guy was doing, and it looked like a footballer doing a celebration in slow mo. I don't know if you saw it, but it was quite niche, so it might have not come up on or any of your social medias. Maybe the people at home actually can let us know. Did you see this? Because I've heard about it, but I didn't actually see it. I was told it was really good, though.
You've not seen it?
No. Someone said to me, like, keep an eye out. It's a bit under the radar, but if you do see it, like, you know, make sure to watch it.
I only saw it once on Twitter. Definitely not 17 times in half an hour.
I think, yeah, no, I definitely didn't see every single social media outlet post it. I didn't. I also am, like, trilingual, so I can read Polish now, apparently. So, you know, or quadlingual, that would be for me now. But, thank you. Thanks. You're all right. Just put one more language in you.
Will you still learn more?
No.
He gets the Reims have to pay $22,000 every game he manages.
Every French lesson.
It's a crazy game.
I still can't believe that Kenilworth Road is a Premier League stadium.
Yeah, I know. And you have to go through someone's garden to get there. Well, you don't.
Yeah, and it's called a roll, not a bap.
And the pitch isn't even ready. Disgraceful. Anyway, should we get on to what we were actually going to do rather than talking about me looking like a rat?
That's still one of my favourite things ever. Anyway, let's get into it. It is going to be any other news. I've got here from the notes on Tom, which is pretty quiet week in terms of signings. What the fuck? Spend more money. Todd, you... What's a misser? Miser?
Miser. A miser is someone who doesn't spend their money. They just save it.
Ooh, it's a good word.
It's a new word.
Great age.
Miser. Are you going to fit that in? We're going to have a miser of the week. One thing is big news, kind of. We signed, it's not David Washington. That's not actually how you say his name. But I didn't David. Kind of get... It's not even David. It's like David Washington. David.
David Washington.
David Washington, lad. Which is, I guess, good. But I don't really know.
Another one in the nursery.
Another one.
Oh my God. It is just beyond ridiculous now in terms of that. I mean, look, good luck to him. But obviously we were signing. We needed to get the squad down, right? That was the whole plan. And then now we've signed 7 or 8 youth players, which were apparently supposed to be loaned out.
Hey, we're just going to give Strasbourg a bloated squad.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, but you can only give a maximum of 5. So, I mean, when are we going to do that? Because there's a week left in the window and we're still signing players. You know, we're looking at getting the squad down from 35 and we are inching ever closer to getting back to a 35-man squad. Like...
Yeah, but those young ones I don't really include in that because they are going on loan. Loan windows don't close like strictly, do they, either?
But where's Big Les hasn't left yet? And he was basically, when we signed Caicedo, we signed Lavia, it was like, he's going to go, done. And he's still here. Like, Leslie Igochukwu, like, he might be a great player in the future, but he's not going to get any
minutes. But maybe they just want a better one for him than Strasbourg. I'm not sure.
That's fair.
I'm sure they'll find a solution. We won't be left with bloated squad.
I mean, we'll have to see.
And they're all and half of them are always injured anyway, so it won't be bloated anyway.
That's true. We have got that, but we'll have to see. But it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that. So next thing that we've got to talk about, Tom's talking about, obviously, with those signings as well. We do need to make a couple more, apparently.
So with that, we're going to work our way around. Quick fire, no explanation. Tell me one player you'd like to sign and see in a Chelsea shirt by the end of the window. Realistic. Don't say Mbappe.
That's Tobes' one gone.
I know who Tobes wants.
Yeah. Does it even need to be said? Everyone's got it in their head right now. Listeners at
Running
home, they know.
Down the wing.
Marcus Alonso back up to Jackson for me. That's what I need.
We need that. We want that. That is.
I need that.
More than you believe.
I'm just imagining Marcus Alonso.
On a serious note, imagine them announcing that Marcus Alonso is coming back.
Do you reckon they'll just switch the thing around to him as like a younger age? He's also what, 31 now? So I'll just say like, or 32. So if he's 32. 13
year old.
So we signed 13 year old Marcus Alonso.
23 year old.
23-year-old.
I would love it, and I think I deserve it.
I just think it makes sense. I actually would, to be fair, at this point.
We need some goals. Whack him on the wing. Don't bother with him at left back. Don't even question the fact that we got it wrong for all those years, or we got it right occasionally. But for his whole career has been failed. A youth manager should have played him up top.
He started up top. Did you not know that? He started as centre forward.
I didn't. I knew he was at Real Madrid, but Real Madrid probably had like, they're probably bringing in Benzema. And they're like, well, Alonso's good. He might not be Benzema level, so let's just stick him at left back.
Then he went to Sunderland, and then he went to Bolton.
No, Bolton first. Bolton first, then he went to Sunderland. Then he went to Fiorentina.
Fiorentina. Chelsea.
Where
he won the lot, other than the Carabao.
He didn't win the Carabao, did he?
Oh, no.
Him and Kante, that's what they're missing.
Kante. Did you win the Carabao Cup? No. Well, thank you. What?
fuck you.
fuck you.
Yeah, Marcus on this one. But anyway, moving swiftly on. Tom, do you want to
who are you and Tom taking?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go on, you go first, Tom.
Okay, I'm going to go Dusan Vlahovic.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to give an exclamation. I will give it to you in the next section.
Okay, all right, that's fine. That works for me. That works perfectly. I mean, I still haven't really thought one, but I'm just looking at our key areas. I think midfield we're kind of sorted now. Wingers were sorted. It's really just centre forward, and all my options have dissipated. Mitrovic has gone to Al Hilal. My midfield option, he's just got 2 assists against us on his debut for West Ham. Listen, I stand by that. Just because his name is not James Ward-Prowse Senior, all right, and he didn't come from Gremio, right? He's not a baller because he's English. Behave yourselves. He's a player. Centre forward,
you're going to go with like Welbeck.
Can I just say, right? Danny Welbeck's numbers speak for themselves. I wouldn't say no.
Against us, they do. Against everyone else, he doesn't do anything.
Exactly. I mean, for me, I think it's like, it's Grant Holt still knocking about. You know, out and out.
He's a wrestler. I think he's a wrestler now.
Is Grant Holt a wrestler?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a wrestler. Like, I think WWE offered him like a little short-term contract or something years ago. Yeah,
wasn't that Tim Weiss, the goalie?
No, Tim Weiss as well. Maybe WWE didn't offer Grant Holt a contract, but I think he's a wrestler.
Grant Holt wrestling.
I'm like 95% sure.
Oh my God, he actually is.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my God, Grant Holt is a wrestler. What? What?
He was a unit, to be fair.
Grant Holt's a wrestler.
Yeah. The more you know.
Sorry, how has that not been Will Stilled? Like that, I'm sorry, like the fact that Grant Holt is a wrestler is enough.
Kids these days don't remember those Norwich teams, Louis.
But did you know that Grant Holt made his wrestling debut in 2022? You know, that's just like, wow, okay.
That should be known to death, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Grant Holt's a good one. I mean, I'm just going to stick a centre forward out there just because I don't have to offer an option. Out and out striker, and I don't have to explain it why. I'm just going to say, let's sign Luka Jovic. It's the first one that came to my head because Fabrizio.
No explanation. That's it. Done.
It's not, but Fabrizio's just tweeted about Fiorentina and Eintracht Frankfurt coming to a deal over somebody. So I've gone and just signed someone who's played for both. Dan. Oh, actually, no, there's your answer. Colo Muani. Let's have some of that. That'd be good.
He's gone to PSG, hasn't he?
Apples.
Is he gone? Okay, right. Well, there you go. I don't have one. Let us know your random signing without any context. In Ben's case, who comes into our spaces, Alex McCarthy. And that's all we're going to say. Anyway, we'll move swiftly on to our next bit of news. And the big thing there, obviously, was something that was reported late last night, obviously Wednesday night. Apparently, there is potential for Romelu Lukaku to be making a return to the Chelsea squad. Only because nobody wants to buy him, he can't go anywhere else, and he better come back with his tail between his fucking legs. The arrogant, self-centred knobhead. That's all I have to say on that. No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree with everything you just said, apart from him rejoining the squad. That was kind of half the reason I chose Vlahovic, because if we sign Vlahovic, then Lukaku goes the other way, and that's a reason to sign a player alone.
But they don't even want him. Juve fans won't do it.
Well, fans maybe not, but the board want him, but they can't sign him without letting Vlahovic go. The only thing with that is that they're valuing Lukaku at 35 million. We value Lukaku at a packet of Quavers, so we don't care. But they value Vlahovic at 50, so we actually technically have to pay £15 million to get rid of Lukaku, which I'm not going to lie, I would do. But then if you're at that point, then why not just release him?
I mean, there is that. I do completely understand that as well. Like, I think the whole issue we've had is the fact we've not, because this whole method working, I use Cucurella as the example again, you know, there was a player there who we could have just shifted and gone, we made a mistake, we've got to take the hit, right? This board don't want to do that at all, and they're looking at him on 300 grand a week for 3 years, and it's like, it's just not plausible.
I don't know, I think they are a bit more, I think the old ownership were worse at that, at accepting they got one wrong. That's why we had Kepa for all that time. Whereas, like, Koulibaly's gone, Aubameyang's gone. I do think they are willing to just get rid if they can get rid. I don't think anyone was in for Cucurella. And I don't think anyone's in for Big Rom. And that's the reality of it.
Well, there is that. But then it's also, if you look at the amortised fees, right? Cucurella was over 7 years or something, wasn't it? Or 6 years? So that's 60 million over 6 years.
I
don't know.
I feel like it wasn't the... they weren't doing it until January properly, those, like, or it might have been September, October onwards.
Yeah,
I think Wes got a long contract maybe, and that was it.
I'm not sure.
I think the big thing with both Lukaku and Cucurella, it comes down to FFP. That's the thing. We can't, even though we want to. I mean, I think even the board wouldn't. I don't think they have any particular affiliation to those players, particularly Lukaku, as they didn't even sign him. But they just can't. Because we can't spend £1 billion and then let all our players go that we bought for what? That we bought those two for a combined £160 million. So we can't then sell them for a combined... Well, Lukaku would go for pennies and Cucurella would go for 15 mil, maybe 20. I mean, maybe 30 for some deluded club. It's one of those things where we cannot win on that scenario.
I don't...
That's why.
Well, I mean, Potter spoke as well at length on how he wants people who want to be here. And it's so evident that Lukaku doesn't want to be here. So it kind of undoes some of Potter's work as well, if this was to be the case, that he comes back. So I'm same as you guys. You guys just get him gone. Even if it is under 21s all year / working in the cafe, like, I don't care. Just, I don't want him. I don't want him wearing a Chelsea shirt.
The big problem here is it's going to be, unfortunately, just playing the politics. And that's what this situation is with Lukaku, and it always has been. He apparently, according to Gazzetta, he was he's offered himself to Roma. So we'll have to see if that even is something that commits.
Jose could do us a favour, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, even then, we'd have to see what could happen there. And obviously, they need a centre forward with Tammy Abraham out all season, pretty much. So, you know, I guess there's some hope there, but realistically, like, if we end up having to play the politics, which is extremely likely, we are probably going to end up seeing Romelu Lukaku in a Chelsea shirt. He will get absolutely battered by the fans in the stands. Like, that is no question. You know, he's,
do you think, though, if he bagged a few goals, everyone would just crack on?
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't, because I
know. I just think football's so fickle, isn't it? Yeah. And I'm with you that, like, I don't want to see the guy in a Chelsea shirt. if we're not scoring goals and struggling and he comes in and just starts banging goals and we're winning games, I think quite quickly you'll end up hearing Romelu Lukaku's chance. I'm not even taking the piss.
No, it's true. But it's true. Football fans are fickle.
Mm.
And I personally have not forgotten what he did, and I don't think I ever will. I think what he said, how he behaved towards Inter fans as well, this whole thing when he was like, back at Inter Milan, I want to come back and fight my place at Chelsea. Then when he was actually at Inter in the end, he was like, I'm loving it, Inter. Then he goes to Juventus. Romelu Lukaku is got this massive ego, which he cannot back up. He cannot back it up. And I'm sorry, just because you're signed to Roc Nation and Jay-Z is your best fucking mate, I don't give a shit. If you aren't delivering and you are coming with this big transfer and then you're moaning. The big thing that always got me with that, sorry, I'm just going on a bit of a rant, I just don't appreciate people like him and how he's behaving. You know, when he was like, oh yeah, well, I speak to Thomas Tuchel as the manager, and he was in the interview, I speak to Thomas Tuchel and, you know, I will work out how I'll play. And I'm like, no, you'll do as you're told, mate. He's your manager. Like, if he tells you this is how we're playing and you don't get in shape and you don't do it, don't turn around and start moaning. You know, it's, I don't understand this mentality he's got. I don't get it, because he doesn't back it up. He had, I mean, the numbers of Man United were pretty good, but overall his game was poor. He's not been really a stellar centre forward or someone I'd talk about in high calibre since Everton.
You know, I don't know. I think skinny Rom under Conte, not eating ketchup when he came to us, like, that was a player there, and in the Euros that was. Totally. If that Rom, no, but I can't lie. Like, that's he was a player for that during that season. Period when he was serious about his football. I agree, it's one season. He's not serious enough an individual to back up everything he said and how he acts when he's, you know, whispering in Ronaldo's ear. It's a piss take. But like, this is his own doing. He's made his bed. I'm with you. I don't want to see him. I'm not going to forget that he disrespected the club and anyone. No one's bigger than the club. And if you literally taking the piss out of the club, essentially, with signing, and then 3 months later you want to go home again after just coming back home, you shouldn't wear a shirt for us again. But the harsh reality is if he is going to be part of the squad and he does play, I'm just throwing it out there. We're gonna get normalised to it quite quickly. If he ends up doing quite well, everyone's gonna end up being like, well, do you know what? Fuck it. He's putting the ball in the back of the net. We've struggled with that.
Tom,
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say if he does come back into the squad, which I can't see happening because I just don't see how Mauricio Pochettino allows him back in. But if he does come back into the squad and he does play for Chelsea again, presumably now he will be a number two because Nico Jackson is the established number one unless we sign, I don't know, Mbappe. So he's coming in as a number two. He has a stinky attitude. He's going to hate that. He's going to sit on the bench. He's then going to get little stints off the bench, which, by the way, is what he was getting into last year. How's that going to work? And also, in terms of playing for the fans and getting back into the team, you know, from the fans loving him and chanting his name again, what's that going to take? It's going to take quite a lot. He's going to need to do a lot because there's going to be a few games where he's going to think, oh, I come onto the pitch and they're just going to chant my name again because I'm back. he's that deluded. I genuinely believe he'll think
that. Maybe.
I'm not going to sing his name potentially ever again.
He will get booed at least for a period of time, minimum.
I must admit, I booed Ziyech last season in the Salzburg game when he came on because I couldn't stand him because, again, his attitude. And then he came on, pulled out an absolute, probably not even a 1 out of 10, a 0 out of 10. And I was like, what's the point? And then you're going to have that with Lukaku this year. I just can't bother with it. Get him gone.
He's the same as, I think, you know, we're talking about, so when Bamiyang did the whole free Ziyech post, Ziyech went to Galatasaray and obviously he's gone to Marseille. Lukaku's in the same zone. Lukaku, right, is that kid at school who thinks he's cool and everyone loves him, right? And he bowls around like he owns the place. Or is it the BNOC? People just call it big name on campus, right? When in reality, he's a massive prick and he's lived his high life already. I'm sorry, he cannot. The way he talks and the way he treats people and the way he behaves, like, all those Inter players, when he was on loan there, when he goes back last year, saying, I want to come back, it's going to be great, I'll be back, don't worry about it, blah, 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 blah. And then he pisses them all off to go to Juventus. Juventus are like, oh, brilliant, let's get this sorted. But then the fans don't want him because they see how he treats their fans. And he's pissing off Italian ultras, by the way, as well. The Inter Milan ones, as everyone very well knows, let's look at Icardi as an example. You know, that wasn't, you know, the best and wisest idea to do, right? He's now trying to do the same in Rome. Can you imagine him going to Rome? Imagine him in the Rome derby. Oh my God, he's asking for trouble. Man is like behaving like an idiot. And if I'm being, this is sort of thing, right? You know, people say fans say a lot of things and then they would never back it up. If I was sat in a room opposite Romelu Lukaku, I'd say all of this to his face. I don't care. I'd sit there and I'd go, like, mate, like you're treating us like shit. What are you doing?
So a no then, boys.
Well, I just think we've spoken about how we feel, how the fans feel. We haven't even spoken about how the players feel. Imagine how some of those players, whether they're, you know, not many of them actually played, half of them probably haven't even met the bloke, but a lot of them will never play with him. There were those that have, will I'm sure have their opinions. And even like people like Enzo, who now he's obviously been there about 6 months, but I still class him as proper chills. Like, they're not going to want to play with this bloke. They know what he's like. They've heard the stories. Those that haven't played with him would have heard the stories. They would have seen, they're all on Twitter. They would have seen stuff about it, whether they want to or not. They won't want to play with this guy. And even if they do, like, I'll see what it's like. They'll have an idea of what he's going to be like in their mind before they've even met him. And then he'll probably live up to that or even be worse. And it's just not going to work. Like, you need to get the toxic players out of our club. We've got rid of pretty much all of them. He's one of the ones that's left. I don't know if Ziyech's confirmed gone. He's another one.
It made me laugh because apparently it's a free loan with an option to buy for free. So it's basically, you can have him. And if you'd like him for longer, then you can have him.
I was cracking up seeing free option
to buy. As if we've been like, keep him.
Fast team, people are going to be like now, like, oh, Zaha and Ziyech. Oh, it's like the streets when I forget wingers. Like, will you shut up, man? Like,
did you see the Turkish reception for Weghorst? It was like Maradona had come. Like, they just accept any old shite over there.
Do you know what the best reactions I've seen this week is? The player signing, speaking of that, players arriving, the Malaga fans. Have you seen that?
Oh, the airport.
The airport, just a random bloke walking up. That
could have been me. I spent 6 months there. They weren't a third division club back then, sadly.
It's quite crazy though. Like, I remember when Malaga actually like signed, was it like Santa Cruz, and like Julio Baptista and Joaquin? Like, they actually spent a bit of money.
Isco started at Malaga, exactly. They're in a Champions League quarter final, like
with Dortmund, wasn't it?
Not that long ago, yeah. Felipe Santana, baller.
FIFA 13 legacy there.
How the mighty fall. Anyway. Tangents.
We love our tangents, but that's that. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it's very clear what we're saying about Romelu Lukaku. But yeah, we'll take a quick break there. And
yeah, we're quite on the fence with it.
Yeah, evidently. We'll take a quick break. Let us know your thoughts about Romelu Lukaku, and we'll see you guys in a minute. Ta-da. Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are here now for the final stage. Everyone's favourite time of the week. It's Premier League predictions and game time. So obviously we're going to step in first with everyone's favourite game, because I'm sure we've all done research for it. Let's do Don't Hate the Player, Hate the Game. So obviously this is when we have to guess players that have played for Chelsea and for Luton. So as it stands right now, it's one for Tom, which wasn't even him, it was Gary. One for Tobes, and zero for me. But I think I can pull it back this week. So, lads.
I think this is going to be a very short game.
Yeah, can I start?
Yeah, go on. You can go first, Tobes, because you won last week. Go.
Barkley.
Is he brown?
Kerry Dixon.
And I'm going to retire on Ross Barkley. I'm out.
Jay De Silva. No idea if he played for either club, but he did when I looked earlier.
Jay De Silva. Paul Elliott.
Well, yeah, I'm out now, aren't I? I'm going to make a name up. Tom Lockyer, Chelsea Academy, who knows?
He didn't. That's also not here. So does that mean I win? Can we just say that I won?
I think so.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I did write in the script. Congrats, Louis, for levelling up, because you gave it the bollocks last week that you had it, whereas we all risk no Luton players at all. I only got Izzy Brown, so I looked it up about half an hour before. In fact, it was during the pod. So
I fucking
congrats,
knew it.
Louis.
Smart. Well, all done. I had was
you
Barkley.
Saw me
I
doing it.
To go first. Yeah.
Thank you
well
very
done,
much.
Well done, Louis. Congrats.
Appreciate it, guys.
Congrats. Now, so it's now into one, a game one, I can one. Compete in.
Brilliant. That's it. It's now time for the Premier League predictions. What we do need, I feel like for these sections, we need to get some jingles done. So I'm going to have a chat with a friend.
We do, and you won that one, but who lost the predictions. We did a podcast. It was Tom was slightly ahead of Louis, but how did it end?
I think I lost.
No, what?
No, you won.
I think you I lost.
Tobes, no, you didn't. I lost.
Louis lost.
I came last how? Last week.
Because you were you ahead of him by one point.
But I didn't get any bang on. I didn't get my goal scorer. I got I think I got 8 of the 9 right. So I got 8 points. You got five from the Liverpool game alone.
Yeah, but I got the Fulham Brentford one wrong, and I got the Villa Chelsea Everton wrong. Wrong, and I got Chelsea wrong. Villa so wrong. it was the Villa Everton that did me in. So,
but that's still.
You did get a 5 point. Tom brings up a good. Did we get our 8s and 9s muddled up?
I'm saying this as an honest man, and also because we've made it monthly. I don't think you lost. I think I lost. So it may need to go to an independent accountant.
Okay, we'll send it to Jordan to have a look. We'll get Jordan to have a look. But anyway, we'll get into it now. Premier League predictions time, ladies and gentlemen.
Mine are written down because I wanted to speed the process up.
Yours are written down. Yeah, I haven't even done mine yet. So
no, I don't even know. I don't even know the games completely yet.
Okay, right.
One roughly. Some.
Well, let's speed through this and let's get it done. The other way Tom's gone, we're just going to speed this process up, knowing full well that last week we took far too long on it. So let's go through it one more time, just so everyone gets all the rules. If you get the,
you predict the games.
Yeah, so you predict the games. If you get the correct score, you predict the right team to win, get 1 point. If you get it wrong completely, you don't get 0. You get 3 points if you get it absolutely bang on, so you get the scoreline absolutely perfect. And in one game, you get an opportunity to guess the goal scorer. If you guess the goal scorer, you get an extra point. And if you get the goal scorer and the scoreline, you get a point for having a perfect score. So you get 5. So that's roughly what we got here. But we'll hop straight into it. We'll go into it and look at Friday night's game. I can't miss it this time. Lads, let's go for it. Chelsea versus Luton.
Tom, you've got your prepared. Do you want to go first on the scores?
Yeah, I'm sticking with what I said in my Luton opposition preview, that we are going to be wasteful. We're going to have a lot of chances, but we're going to be wasteful. But I think they're going to have nothing. And I'm going to say that we are going to look good, be dominant, but only win 2-0.
To be honest, I can see a recipe for the same game. I would go 2-0. I was tempted to go Sterling as a goal scorer, but I'm actually going to save my goal scorer for a different game. But I'm going to go 2-0 us as well.
Cool. I'm going to agree with all of that as well. So I'm going 2-0 as well for that game. I think that's about right.
Wait, maybe we should change this because we all said 2-0 Chelsea last time.
Well, we've done it now, so we can't pull it out. Right.
If we lose again, fucking hell.
Bournemouth versus Spurs.
At Bournemouth?
At Bournemouth.
Yeah, and it's the early kickoff. I'm really torn on this, but I'm going to go against Mahatma Gandhi's early kickoff phrase and go for Bournemouth 1, Tottenham 3.
I'm going 2-1 to the Spuds as well. I know you went 3-1, but I think Spurs will beat them. I think they've been impressive.
Even without Madders.
Wait, where's Madders?
Madders injured.
Well, that could change things, you know.
I think I'll still back them 2-1.
Okay, all right, that's good. Next one, Arsenal Fulham.
I've put my money around my mouth this week. I said how bad I think Fulham are. They're also without Ream because he got sent off. I think Arsenal have been a bit wasteful so far this season. I think it might come together. So I've actually gone Arsenal 5, Fulham 0.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 4-0 Arsenal.
I'm gonna go 4 as well. 5-0. Oh my god. Okay, interesting.
And
oh, we got a goal scorer.
And a goal from Martinelli.
He hasn't looked like scoring a goal recently, but
yeah, I can feel it down in my plants.
I hope so.
I can feel it down in my plants. We're not doing this again. Oh dear. Right.
It might be a cancer scare, I don't know what it is, but I can feel it either way.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Brentford versus Palace.
Actually really hard. Probably the hardest game for me to call, because they're both quite good, but I'm gonna go with Brentford's momentum to carry them to a 2-1 win.
I've got the same.
Who have Brentford got?
Palace.
At home?
At the G-Tech.
Oh, could have gone on Bueno. Yeah, I'll go... Palace haven't really got any goals in them. I'll go... I'll go 2-0
2-0
Brentford.
I'm changing mine. I'm going 3-1 3-1 Palace, 3-1 Brentford.
I think Palace are better than that, but we'll see. We'll see on the day.
I like Palace. I just think they're not a lot of goals while Lisa's out. It's nice having the pressure off that we know it's a month forfeit a bit, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's like you can make up this ground.
Everton Wolves.
Stinker. Absolutely.
He is a stinker. Contender for the worst. I think it will only be beaten as worst game of the season by.
Is this is this televised?
No.
Good.
I think only Luton Sheffield might beat that as the worst game of the season. I've gone based on the fact that both sides cannot score a goal for Everton 0, Wolves 0.
Do you know what?
Is it at Goodison?
It is at Goodison.
Yes. This might be mad. I'm going to go 1-1. I think they're both going to score a goal.
They might. Their defences are also both awful, but I just think that they might not find a way to score.
I think they might think, do you know what? If there's ever a time we might score, it'll be against the other version of us. And it might. I think 1-1.
I know.
Well, Calvert-Lewin's gone and done his cheek, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go 1-1.
I'm going 1-1 as well. Right. United.
Forest.
Versus Forest.
At Old Trafford. United need to win this game. Mount's out, which I think will help them. So, for Forest have been alright. So I'm going to go for a nervy 2-1 win for United.
I'm going 3-1. Tobes, what are you going?
I think United have looked rubbish, haven't they? Surely they've got to bounce back a bit, though. 2-1. 2-1, yeah, I'll go 2-1.
Cool. Right, moving on to the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Brighton versus West Ham. At Brighton, this screams, I don't know why, it just screams a battering. It really does.
Yeah, I got this wrong. I got Brighton wrong by a goal last week. I said 3-1, and they won 4-1. But I'm going to say 3-1 again to Brighton. They look very good. And West Ham, I thought, didn't look that good. Last week.
I'm going to go the same. Toes, what are you going?
I'm going 2-2. Desmond.
Desmond. Oh, very nice.
I just think Brighton, like a bit of counter-attacking Jared Bowen, set pieces. They're horrible, West Ham. I know you'll very rarely get a game where you think they looked good. I just think they're going to be one of these horrible physical teams.
I'm also going to go for a goal scorer. Ooh. I'm going to go for Solly March to score my
Beware
fantasy
the odds
league
of March.
Hero. Right.
Run will end, and I hope it's before this week.
I really hope it's not this week. Right, Burnley Villa.
I've gone...
Claren Blue Derby.
I've gone... Burnley really hard to call because they've only played one game in the league, which they lost 3-0. But I've gone Villa 4... Burnley 1.
Ooh. This is at Burnley.
I'm gonna go 3-1.
I got 2-1 Villa.
These predictions are far too easy now. I feel like we're taking this quite lightly.
Well, no, because we're all going. But we all. Going for the similar, like the same result in terms of the team that wins, then getting one bang on is actually quite important.
Jesus Christ. Sheffield United versus
one,
Man City.
Could be a cricket score. I've gone Sheffield United 0. And this could be any number between 1 and approximately 12. but I've gone for 5. Man City to win 5-0. And I have gone for Haaland again, even though he let me down last week. I don't know if that's allowed. If it's not, I will redo. But I'm backing Haaland to score.
We haven't thought that we'll put that rule in place, so I'll allow it. But I do think that's something we should consider. But not. We'll do first season. We'll keep it simple. if we decide to do this prediction.
Although,
next year.
Yeah, perfect. But then it could, if it turns into what Haaland normally is, we could end up all picking Haaland every week.
I will be doing that every week until I'm told I'm not allowed.
Okay, all right. We'll allow it this week, and we'll have a discussion internally at the.
Who did I even go with?
Well, you even done
yours. You got Martinelli.
Oh, yeah,
you did Martinelli against
Fulham.
Yeah.
Go on. What's yours? Go on, Tobes.
I'll go. City are going to beat them 4-0.
Okay. Last one then. Newcastle, Liverpool.
What was your score, Liverpool? Liverpool, Louis, for that?
I've gone 5-0.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Right.
Newcastle, Liverpool. Difficult game to call. I think Newcastle are better than Liverpool, but I think Liverpool's attack is very good, and there is the added possibility that it might be Salah's last ever game for Liverpool without Etihad sniffing. I've gone for a Desmond. Newcastle 2, Liverpool 2.
I've gone for the same. Tobes?
There's a lot of big games that end 2-2, so I'm kind of tempted. Is it St James's or Anfield?
It's St James. Sports Direct.
Newcastle will beat them.
You love 2-1. The Geordies, don't you? 2-1. Cool. All
right. I think at home they'll win most games.
Lewis Hall.
And we should have put Liverpool to the sword, but Newcastle got a bit more goals in them than us.
A bit more clinical, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I think Liverpool's attack's very good, and I still think
Geordie low block though, man.
I still think the Newcastle defence is overrated, even though they keep doing a good job. I don't know. 2-2.
We'll have to see. But those are the predictions, guys. That is it. We'll let you know.
Those are not predictions, they're spoilers.
I've got to hope they are spoilers. If I get every single one of these bang on, I'm like a guru. The one really annoys me is if I get these bang on, because I've not really thought about it, I'm just going to put these out. That's when I do my best, right? If I was put that in an acca, I just know full well it wouldn't come in. So we'll have to see.
Luton would win the first game if I put that in an acca.
Oh, mate, does me head in. But yeah, but anyway, that is it for the pod, guys. Hope you've enjoyed this episode and obviously enjoyed the opposition preview with the Oak Road Hatters. If you want to go and see our thoughts on how Chelsea are going to do against Luton in an opposition preview, make sure you go and read their article, which the beautiful bloke from Flushed Away wrote. What a lovely rat he is, our Tom Masters. Ben Chilwell, the rat from Flushed Away, and Fat Robert De Niro. Miles Teller. We'll be back with you after the Luton game. If you haven't already, please make sure you hit the subscribe button. Leave us a good review. It really, really helps us. We've got a decent number of streams so far, and I'm very happy how we've been going. Boys have been doing really well, working their asses off. Jordan is, off with the fairies somewhere today. Left us to crack on with this bit here. And but we'll be back after Luton. Take care of yourselves, guys, and we'll see you later. Ta-da.